I'm really glad to be able to have my guest this morning, Chris Lindsay. He is a senior legislative counsel for the Marijuana Policy Project. He's joining us this morning. Chris, morning. How are you, pal?
Good morning. How are you, Tom?
Good. You know, this legislation, when you think about this, this was something that was literally talked about in the Gerald Ford administration, that one of his platforms for reelection was, I want to make marijuana legal. We didn't receive that as a platform in many elections after that. But now here it is. After decades of putting people in jail for growing a plant and smoking it, I noticed your quote seems to lean into this when I was looking at a press release. Legislation can't simply end criminal penalties or establish sales. Legalization has to be part of the healing process as we recover from the failed war on cannabis. And there are a lot of components that address that in this legislation.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we started this a couple of years ago when the sponsors said this was a direction they wanted to go. And one of the things that they emphasized to me very, very early is that this had to include components to make the program fair. It needs to be accessible. It needs to address these issues like expungement. A lot of the features of the bill that we have today came because the sponsors said this is an important priority. And I can tell you, 2 years later, I can't thank them enough for getting ahead on that, because what we've seen in the meantime is these issues like social equity and others have really come to the forefront. So Illinois was able to really nail that in a way I think other states haven't so far. I'm super proud of what Illinois did.
All right, now there, and I've heard some other lawyers and former state's attorneys, attorney generals talk about this, that, you know, this legislative branch maybe overreached into the judicial branch whenever they started talking about expungement wholesale, saying, look, that's not legislative responsibility, that's judicial. Your thoughts when you talk about the possibility of 700,000 records eligible for expungement and 302,000 eligible for a motion to vacate process?
Right. And so there was a huge amount of discussion that happened in the closing weeks of the process. And a lot of it was centered on this very issue. You know, how can you have one branch of government tell another branch, hey, this is how you're going to have to conduct yourself? You know, sometimes that happens in government, but not always when we're talking about the judiciary. So what we finally settled on was that the governor was really going to approach this through a pardoning process. And so we're not telling the courts what to do, but if you go into the courts, you have the ability to say, hey, look at what my background was. This fits within this expungement set of provisions. I should be able to take advantage of that. The governor has pardoned me.
Right.
So it's not, hey, judiciary, make sure you let all these people, you know, correct their records and go get that handled. It's actually a little bit different. So it starts with the governor's action.
Yeah, and that way that we stay in each other's lanes or out of each other's lanes in that respect.
Right.
You have to deal with this. But the other issue, and I think, is when you look at the war on drugs, you know, and it's interesting because inherently, right, rural area in southern Illinois, we don't exactly have this on the levels that we do in, say, Chicago, easy enough, or East St. Louis, or whatever the case, and that is the ownership and licensorship, that there's a $30 million low-interest loan program for startup costs associated with the licensed cannabis industry if you are in communities that have been disadvantaged by the war on drugs. Those are the terms used from the governor's office. There are all kinds of other programs that are, you know, designates 20% of the total points for qualifying applicants to obtain a license or a dispensary, a cultivation center if you are in one of these areas, 50% of the non-refundable license fees. This is another component that traces back to your comment about the healing process.
Yeah, that's right. And what you'll notice when you go through this bill is that when we talk about equity applicants, we're not actually talking about racial minorities, and that is a huge distinction between the approach taken in Illinois versus some of the others that we've seen, where they'll say, well, what we really want is we want to make sure there's more diversity. Everybody knows we really mean black people, and so let's do carve-outs. Let's set aside licenses for people of you know, from minority groups. The problem with that is it can be challenged in courts. And so we went through that process in Illinois as we looked at how can we ensure that there's fairness here. And what we did was we said, you know what this is really about? This is about the war on cannabis and how hard it's been on some individuals and in some communities. And so if you look at what the definition of an equity applicant is, it's actually a person who's been arrested, charged, convicted of a cannabis offense. It can be a person, maybe somebody in your family was affected that way. You can also qualify as an equity applicant in that situation. And then you mentioned that certain communities in and of themselves qualify for that status. And by that, we mean that they have high rates of poverty and there have been marijuana laws disproportionately enforced within those communities. So that's sort of the third category. If you fall into any of those categories, you now can qualify for these benefits. You can get additional points on applications. You get access to the funds. And there's stuff that happens on the back end, too. So what happened was we took equity from being specifically about race to be one aimed at reducing the harms caused, these lingering harms, the stuff on people's records and all the rest. We decided that really we need to address that if we're going to address all the other pieces here in this bill.
There's one hole in this legislation. It's because the technology and the uniformity and the processes don't exist. And that's when in this law they establish a DUI cannabis task force. And speaking with law enforcement, this is a great deal of interest in this. Because there is no standard. I mean, right? Of course, in some states still arguing about the alcohol level for BAC when it comes to behind the wheel in alcohol. We've seen it go up, go down. Now, with this, this is a little more vague. We've got to come up with a plan, and we don't have one yet, nor the technology, at least not reliable technology.
Yeah, that's right. So we're very accustomed to alcohol-type DUI policies where we'll say, if you have this amount of alcohol in your system, we're pretty confident on a scientific basis that this is where your sort of mental state is, your level of impairment. And of course, everybody knows 0.08 BAC. Marijuana doesn't absorb into your system the same way. In fact, alcohol is unique along those lines. So even if a person were impaired because of a prescription drug, you couldn't just tell the same way that you can with alcohol because a certain amount's in their system. So that leaves us with some challenges. A lot of other states have been investigating this for quite some time. What we wanted to do in Illinois was make sure that law enforcement had the resources to go and do some of their own work on this. Let's do some analysis. Let's look at cases. Let's see what we can learn. Rather than saying, okay, law enforcement, here's how you're going to have to do it, we wanted to make sure that we're empowering law enforcement to do some of their own work. So that's how that got set up in this legislation.
You know, it's interesting because this has been a subject, as I said, for many, many years, a lot of debate, a lot of argument. I've seen a lot of people go to jail. Seen other people start on marijuana, go to alcohol, go to marijuana, go to cocaine, go to heroin, go to opioids, and die. Seen that too. I mean, there's a lot of components when it comes to drugs. Whether it's a gateway drug or whether it's alcohol or just the fact that you wake up as a gateway drug. But I'm a dumb old country boy that suffers from a hell of a lot of idealism. And when it comes to marijuana sales, I can't help but, you know, see that some of these components in a different light. That if you're only selling marijuana because you need the money, you're a drug dealer. Now, and this is, you know, right? We grow a plant and you smoke it, right? And you feel better. All right. So, I mean, at this point, if we need the money and we're only doing it for the money, we're drug dealers. But on the other hand, with some of these programs that we and you and I have talked about over the last 7 or 8 minutes, that there's that some of that idealism is kind of addressed in some at some point. That we're saying, look, if you went to jail, we've got we're going to get you out. We're going to get expungements. We're going to clear your record. And then helping these people that in the past have been maybe arrested for these, give them a legal outlet. But it's still this, you know, we got to have the money aspect, and that's the reason why we're doing it. It kind of bothers me instead of because it's the right thing to do.
Well, sure. You know, in my organization is really more geared toward we need to fix the harms that came from this war on cannabis. We're not driven by let's go figure out a way to make a bunch of money from legalization. And I have to say, and I appreciate this again from the sponsors of this bill, the money was never the driver. Did it help sell it? You bet it did. Is it the reason why we have legalization in Illinois? It really isn't. So I'm very confident about that. And you know, again, it's part of the picture. You can't get into a conversation about legalization anywhere in the country where tax revenue isn't a major part of the discussion. But this is really about justice reform. It's about figuring out a better regulatory system than the one that we've really had to live with all this time.
Yeah, and you're talking about policy as opposed to pocket change. Now, when it comes to this, yeah. Were you a little surprised the Illinois Department of Revenue, I know you're not a money guy, but nevertheless, $57 million the first year, $140 million the second year, and by FY24, they're estimating in the Illinois Department of Revenue for the state of Illinois, $375.5 million. I got to be honest with you, that track for revenue kind of stunned me, and I'm not sure I have too much faith in it because I think other states will have done it by then, and we won't be seeing some of that money come across from Indiana, Missouri, Kentucky, because we will see the tourist pot dollar. But those revenue projections are stunning.
They are, and we've spent quite a bit of time, especially over the last 6 months or so, looking at different groups' versions of here's how the revenue is going to fall. There are a lot of big questions. We don't, you know, today, how many consumers do we have in Illinois of cannabis? Well, we can go and talk to the federal government. It's got statistics. Are those correct? Are people reporting these things? That's one question. Another would be, how much do people actually consume? Once this program's up and running, how often are people actually going to be visiting dispensaries? These are all questions that we have to look at other states to in order to understand what may happen in Illinois. And those numbers come from what we've seen happen so far in these other states. So there are a lot of question marks over those. Obviously, we don't know yet what will happen. We don't have a crystal ball. But what we can do is look to those states that have gone before to try to understand what did they see in terms of performance of these types of taxes.
Yeah, but when you compare us to Colorado, I don't think there's an economic comparison. There isn't, especially dense population, average household income. I think we'll see a lot different outcome here in Illinois compared to Colorado. Hey, before I let you go, we have about 30 seconds. Chris Lindsay, he is the Senior Legislative Counsel for the Marijuana Policy Project. We've talked about a number of things in this bill. There's a number of things we haven't. If you thought, you know, hey, I got 30 seconds to tell somebody something about this legislation they didn't know or something you're exceptionally proud of, what would it be?
Well, what I'm most proud of is the fact that so many different parts of Illinois' government came together to make this a realistic program. I think, and this is for me in my capacity at the Marijuana Policy Project, is I want to go sing the praises to the next state. Look at what Illinois just did. And I think that's going to be the longest lasting effect of this across the nation is the fact that Illinois went through that process using its legislature, and that gave us a different approach to this than we've seen through voter initiative states. I think it's going to make a big impact in other parts of the country.